My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 102. Well, hello, my friends. On this and every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Who am I to be talking to you about such things? Well, I have been an independent creator since the late 1980s. I was in the first wave of independent publishing, having published the first novel in history with a simultaneous release in paperback, ebook, and podcast editions back in 2005. And as regular listeners are probably used to me saying by now, it's not my first rodeo, but the venues and the horses and the bulls and the clowns. Oh my, the clowns. They keep changing. So on this show, I try to have the attitude of an experienced beginner, because there's always something new to learn. I certainly don't have this all figured out, even though I've got something like 16 titles on the market and have been doing this for a long time. There's mistakes to be made. There's discoveries to be made. There are new ways of thinking and doing to think and do. And that's kind of what this show is all about. Every other episode, I sit down with a writer, author, playwright, poet, what have you, someone in the words business. And we have an in-depth and hopefully evergreen conversation that packs a lot of value for you. Every other episode, it's me talking to you about what's going on in my own creative writing life. And that's this episode. The last time I spoke to you just one-on-one was the landmark episode 100, which was also the 6-year anniversary of this particular podcast. This is, by the way, my 20th anniversary year as a podcaster. So that special episode is coming up in October when the actual date happens on the calendar there. Today, though, I wanted to catch you up on some good news. The fact that I have actually shipped something. It doesn't happen very often. I have been doing this a long time, but I am far from a prolific creator in terms of actually getting stuff to the market. But recently, my novelette, Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat, hit the market. I made it available first to my friends and fans in the Multiversalists community, and then for sale on my website. And then at least the ebook is now available pretty much anywhere you get your ebooks. If you don't want to purchase it directly from my site over there at mattselznick.com. Yeah. So let me talk about that for just a little bit, because I sometimes forget to be proud of the fact that I've finished something, that I've released something out into the world. You spend so much time on a project that when it's done, you know, it's kind of like the actor who never watches their own movies. You know, they put it behind them and they move on to the next thing. But as independent authors, we have to talk about it. We have to continue to talk about it. It's not that I don't want to. It's that there's so much else going on that I sometimes forget. So allow me. You know what? I'm not even going to say allow me. I am taking this opportunity, using this platform that I have, using this megaphone that I have. It's not a very loud megaphone, but it is mine. So let's talk about this thing that I made, Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat. It is the second work I've released in my Daikaiju universe story world, the first being the short story Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Chimera Wolf. Now that first short story was my, all of my things that I put out tend to be very character driven. And the genre trappings are, they're just a vehicle, right? They're just a way to communicate whatever it is that I'm trying to say about what it means to be human. So I often refer to Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Chimera Wolf as a kind of a love story with giant monsters. The new one, Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat, is admittedly a lighter take in what is, you know, kind of a ridiculous genre to begin with, right? Giant monsters, kaiju, that kind of thing. I deliberately set out to make more of kind of an adventure romp, although there is a lot of interpersonal relationship stuff happening. It is very much more in the spirit of the kind of 1970s Godzilla movies. It's kind of gonzo, kind of over the top. And it's also a pastiche, a mashup of not just kaiju movies, but Lovecraftian lore. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed writing it. It had its challenges. It took some time. And you can actually read what went into the making of that novelette over there at mattselznick.com. I will have the links in the show notes for this episode, which is episode 102, which you can find at mattselznick.com/sonitotum-102. So check out that article, what went into writing Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat. It's out. It's in the world. And it is the first new product, new piece of content, although I know a lot of people hate that phrase, the first new published work since I relaunched my website back in January of this year. And that means that it was the first opportunity for me to really put my new bi-direct infrastructure to work. What I mean by that is I've been focusing very much, in as much as I'm able to focus on anything these days that isn't work and keeping a roof over my head, I've been focusing on bringing people into my community, having people buy direct from me, giving as much as I possibly can to my member patrons, my multiversalists. For example, with Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat, my member patrons at the bronze level and above were able to read the work in progress drafts. So every time I had a writing session, I would post that writing up on the website behind the member paywall. So folks could read this as it was being written, more or less. And then, you know, once the complete and as close to perfect as possible version was released to the world, that version is also up there on the website for the member patrons. Members at the silver tier and above actually got their ebook copy and their audiobook copy as well. So this was, as a novelette, this was also an opportunity for me to bring back my handmade, limited edition, signed and numbered chapbooks, which is something that I did years ago for all of my shorter works, brought it back for this one. So yeah, it's out there in the world as an ebook, as an audiobook, narrated by me, of course, and as this limited edition chapbook. I lay out the chapbook in Affinity Publisher and print it up, create a little cover with cardstock, fold it up, staple it, sign it, number it, stick it in an envelope, and mail it to the person who ordered it. It is entirely, it's not entirely handmade. I'm not, I don't have a printing press, and I'm not laying the type by hand. But it is my hands that go into the actual making of the thing, the physical product that you receive when you order it. Let's give you some particulars. Now, first of all, here is the sort of official blurb for Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat. And as an aside, kind of a pet peeve, I was a bookseller for, off and on, 25 years. And so when I hear the word blurb, I think that is the little testimonial written by another author on usually the cover of a book. You know, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, Dean Koontz, right? These days, in the independent publishing world, blurb has come to be synonymous with sales copy, marketing copy. And so, yeah, I reluctantly use blurb. But when I say blurb, I wish I could be talking about testimonial. All right, small rant aside. So here is the sales copy, the brief sales copy on what Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squidbat is all about, why you might want to buy it, all that great stuff. And I'm just going to read this directly from my website. Live or die. Is this their last mission? Fans of old school gonzo kaiju flicks and a certain cosmic horror author from the 1930s will enjoy this globe-hopping giant monster adventure. A menace from generations past and an all-too-modern antagonist threaten to attract the attention of a new kaiju with unprecedented catastrophic power. Unless Reggie and Ben can team up with a celebrity psychic and two mysterious, improbable harbingers at the literal middle of nowhere to save the day, their sanity, and the world. No matter what Reggie and Ben do, nothing will ever be the same. Dun, dun, dun! Right. So, if you go to mattselznick.com/book, it is the featured item there on the page. You can click through right at the top there, and you can read a sample from Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squidbat. And of course, you can buy direct from me. So the best deal is the audiobook and ebook bundle for $5.48. Or you can simply buy the ebook for $1.99, or you can buy the audiobook for $4.99. If you want a physical product that you can hold in your hand, as I mentioned, there's a limited edition chapbook. Now, there will only be 100 of these made ever. There are 94 left as I speak to you today on June 9th, 2024. So I'm not saying they're selling like hotcakes, but they will run out. And if you want a more low number for collectability purposes, I suppose, then you should order that. The limited edition chapbook is $10, shipping included, in the U.S. and Canada. If you are outside of the U.S. and Canada, just send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com, and either I'll still only charge you $10, or we'll figure something out depending on where you are in the world and what the shipping might cost for me. So there it is. The ebook is $1.99. The audiobook is $4.99. Get both for $5.48. And, or, why not get them all? Order the limited edition chapbook while supplies last for $10, shipping included. Now, the other way you can enjoy Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squidbat is to become a member of the Multiversalists member community. If you join at the bronze level and you pay annually, it's just $50 a year. If you pay monthly, it's $5 a month. And when you become a bronze level Multiversalist, you get online access to not just Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squidbat, but all of my novels, all of my short stories, all of my other novellas and novelettes, anthologies, short story collections, nonfiction works, everything that I have currently released commercially, you'll be able to read on the website as a bronze Multiversalist. You also get access to new works as they're written, as I mentioned earlier, and a few other benefits and perks. If you join as a silver multiversalist, you get all that stuff bronze multiversalists receive, of course, but you also get any commercially released digital content you can download, ebooks, audiobooks, printables, music. That's $90 a year or $10 a month. And you don't just get new stuff that comes out. My entire catalog of commercially released digital content you can download as a silver multiversalist. So, you know, again, that's what is that? That's 4 novels, 7 short stories, novellas, and novelettes, 1 anthology, 1 short story and essays collection, and 3 nonfiction works. It's edging up to 500,000 words worth of fiction and nonfiction for $90 a year or $10 a month. You get ebooks, and if it's available in this format, audiobooks as well. And by the way, I'm gearing up to adding all of my music as well. More on that in a little bit, but that'll be part of your Silver Multiversalist's benefits as well. If you're a Gold Multiversalist, you get all the stuff the Bronze and Silver folks receive, of course. But anytime I release something in print commercially, you get that too. Get it shipped to you. No extra cost. So the new limited edition chapbook, my Gold Multiversalists didn't have to pay $10 for their copies. I just made them, sent them. Now the Gold Multiversalist is $200 a year or $25 a month. There are other perks and bonuses to the Gold Multiversalist's level. If any of this sounds cool to you, if you want a way to support me as a creator to help offset the costs of creating this podcast and to get in one form or another the stuff that I make automatically as soon as it comes out, visit mattselznick.com/BA patron. And that's mattselznick.com/BA patron. Of course, you can get Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat in ebook form anywhere you get your ebooks. It will soon be available in audiobook pretty much anywhere you get your audiobooks, including audible.com and audiobooks.com, and in ebook and audiobook formats in most public libraries in the US as well. But if you want me to receive the most possible financial benefit from your purchase, then I hope you will consider, you know, if you're considering buying Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat at all, this fun, kind of gonzo mishmash of giant monster movies and H.P. Lovecraft mythos, then please do it directly from me. The ebook is $1.99. The audiobook is $4.99, or you can get both of them for $5.48. The limited edition chapbook, only 100 will ever be made, for $10, shipping included. Again, just go to mattselznick.com, go to the written works page. The link is right there on the homepage. You'll see Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat featured right at the top of the books page when you click that written works button. And you know what to do. What's next? Now that I have managed to finish this novelette. Oh, and by the way, the only reason I even did this novelette is because of my member patrons. Every month that patron revenue, whether it's from new patrons or from monthly patrons and re-upping their memberships, every month that the revenue is at least $175 or there are at least 40 member patron multiversalists, I write and publish a short story. In this case, it turned out to be a novelette. So even more words for the buck, right? And that's what happened back in January. The revenue surpassed $175 from patron memberships. So I pulled Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat out of the unfinished pile and made it done. And now it's time to do something else. And that is returning hopefully in increasingly less tentative fashion, returning to my next novel, Shadow of the Outsider. Shadow of the Outsider is part of my Shaper's World story world. It is the second planned novel out of six, in addition to auxiliary and secondary and supporting works. It is a follow-up and indeed volume two of a trilogy to my last Shaper's World novel, Light of the Outsider. However, it's also intended pretty much as a standalone. The three volumes in this first trilogy, Light of the Outsider, Shadow of the Outsider, War of the Outsider, will create sort of the first of two arcs in the larger Shaper's World cycle. Shadow of the Outsider takes place about not quite 20 years after Light of the Outsider. And it's going to be a very different book from Light of the Outsider. And this has been the cause of consternation and procrastination and all sorts of other nations in my head over years, honestly. And writing Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat definitely got me back on the writing horse. But here we are in June. Reggie's been done since April, more or less. The actual writing of Reggie has been done since April. And so the horse is saddled up. The horse is fresh. But I need to get back on getting back on the horse. And I've got myself psyched up about Shadow of the Outsider and anxious about it because it is such, it's going to be a challenging work. It has been a challenging work. It is going to be, at least in part, an epistolary work written entirely in the voice of one character's, to put it simply, their journal. The character is something of a wandering scholar, or had been for most of their life. And so they record everything. And it's going to be very challenging to communicate events that happen outside of that character's experience, right? And of course, that's always the challenge when you are writing from the first person perspective. You know, I did this, then I did that, then, you know, as opposed to the character did this. But I need to narrow that perspective down even farther, because not only is it a first person narrative, as an epistolary work, it's what the character chooses to write down as a record of what has happened to them. And how objective might they be? And how do I fill in the blanks and make it make sense? So there may be a framing device. I'm not sure yet. But what I do know is that I need to just start writing. And there's a certain level of fear and trepidation around getting started on this thing. That's really only part of it, though. I'm also under a lot of stress and very busy in my personal and professional life. And so finding not just the time, but the mental and environmental space to work on this thing, which is going to be a very, very, it's going to require a lot of deep thought and deep focus. And I'm having trouble finding the focus, finding the opportunities for focus. It's been a challenge, but it's what's next. It's what I want to do. It's what I need to do. It is necessary to do this next work so that I can do the one after that and the one after that and the one after that and the one after that. I feel the pressure of time, as I always do. And so it's a little paralyzing, but that's what's next. Shadow of the Outsider. If you, again, one of the great ways that you can encourage and support this next novel is by being a patron. I think I mentioned that enough for now. Something I'm doing gradually, which has always been part of the plan, is the world building around the fiction in the Shaper's World setting. The Shaper's World is a wholly original secondary world fantasy setting. It takes place on a planet that is not Earth, that has never been Earth, that is not some alternate Earth. It's not Earth. Around a real star in the real galaxy. And so it has its own ecology and its own geology and geography and cultures. The viewpoint characters in the novels are a kind of human, but they are not Homo sapiens. And so there's a great deal of world building behind the scenes to create a kind of verisimilitude that I want to create. And I think I succeeded in that verisimilitude based on reader feedback in Light of the Outsider and in the companion novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay. And that's all because of the world building that goes on behind the scenes. It's comforting work. And so I am getting back into that, trying to sort of codify the, in particular, the geography of the main continent of the Shaper's World, where most of the action takes place in these six books that are written and forthcoming. And because there is a lot of travel, and I don't want to have to retcon down the line because I haven't figured something out or because something turned out to be unrealistic. There's a lot of travel in Shadow of the Outsider, at least in part of it. So working out the physical features of this continent, working out the accurate environments, the biomes, the temperatures, the ecology, as I mentioned, the cultures, just like the real world, this is not a monoculture planet or a mono climate planet, right? It's not Tatooine where the whole fucking thing is desert. And it's not, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's complex. And I've mentioned this before in the past in writing and in episodes of this podcast, but the ultimate goal is to have the Shaper's World be a shared world, a place where others can come and play and collaborate and create works in even other media beyond novels and short stories and novelettes and novellas. You know, there could be comics and movies and TV shows and plays and all kinds of things, games, tabletop role-playing games and other games in this setting. So it is supposed to be, you know, the primary focus. It is the job one. When things come around, like the monthly short story, thanks to, you know, my patrons reaching a particular goal that I mentioned earlier, then, you know, there's detours. But the Shaper's World and Shadow of the Outsider are what's next, what's on the plate when it comes to writing. Now, it's not often mentioned, but I am also a musician, and I was a very active musician in the very late 80s, throughout the 90s, and right up until the turn of the century, more or less, in a variety of bands, and especially in solo acoustic singer-songwritery type stuff. And I've got, you know, several songs out there. I'm a member of ASCAP, and my works, however, my musical works that are recorded are not currently available on any of the retail platforms or streaming services, because I quit the distribution service that I was using because they were just kind of nickel and diming me. So I discovered a different service that will facilitate distributing my music to, you know, Spotify and Apple and Google and Tidal and, you know, Amazon Music and YouTube Music and, you know, all the streaming platforms, as well as iTunes and Amazon.com and all the places you can buy music as well. The new service that I found is Landr, L-A-N-D-R. And instead of the monthly fees and additional annual fees that my previous service, DistroKid, required, Landr is a once a year payment for unlimited uploads and releases and stuff. The only thing that costs extra with them is cover songs, which are $15 each, because, you know, you got to pay the rights holder as well. So I'm in the process of re-uploading all my stuff via Landr, which will get my music out there back onto the streaming services and music retail digital sites. That process will also include adding the music for access by my member patrons, my multiversalists at the bronze, silver, or gold level. And there's some technical things to work out, but ideally, I would like my bronze multiversalists to be able to stream the music from my site, and for my silver and gold multiversalists to be able to download the music so that they can have it for their very own. And in addition, I'll be providing lyrics sheets, downloadable PDFs for the lyrics as well. Those will be able to be viewed by the bronze multiversalists, and they'll be able to be downloaded by the silver and gold multiversalists. So aside from writing, that is sort of the other kind of tinkering project when it comes to my creative endeavors that I'm trying to get done. Finally, I mentioned in episode 100, the idea of kind of doing an Eisenhower matrix of everything that I want to do, every piece of fiction and nonfiction that I want to write, musical projects that I want to do, personal projects, life stuff, kind of throwing it all in a giant big list and then organizing it according to the Eisenhower matrix. And the Eisenhower matrix, and I'll have a link in the show notes for this episode, Sonatotum 102. So the Eisenhower matrix, the idea is that it's a four-square grid, with the upper left-hand grid being urgent and important stuff, the upper right-hand grid being important but not urgent stuff, the lower left-hand grid being urgent but not important stuff, and the lower right-hand grid being not important and not urgent. I've been thinking of creating something similar to that to prioritize the things, not just that I want to do, but that I want. You know, so we're talking about, you know, physical and mental health and books to write and music to record and things to do like digitize all of my old cassette tapes, recordings of my music and things like that, digitizing old family movies that are on 8mm and VHS cassettes, digitizing the thousands of photographs from my life. You know, I inherited all of my mother's photo albums when she passed away almost 5 years ago now. Finding a way to preserve all of my mother's genealogical research and work that she did. Kind of her life's work, you know? And, you know, just all these things that I want to do, and in some cases need to do, like exercise and improve my health and manage my blood pressure and things like that. I mentioned all that in episode 100, that it might be a thing that I do. I have not done much about it in the last month or so, except think about it. And part of my thinking has been, you know, maybe that's kind of a masturbatory exercise, you know. And I have had bad experiences with big planning exercises like that. It kind of makes you feel good to figure it all out, but it doesn't do anything to actually do the stuff. So I'm mainly mentioning this as an update because I brought it up in episode 100, the last time we had a conversation like this. And so that's kind of where it's at. At the moment, it's more important to me, I think, to actually just live my life in a way that I'm able to be in a position to do the things that I need to do, rather than writing it all down and putting things in boxes and all that. So there it is. That's what's up with me. In the beginning of June in 2024, if you have thoughts about this episode or any episode of Sonototem, of course, as always, I welcome and encourage your feedback. You can send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. And again, that's mattselznick.com. matt@mattselznick.com. You can visit mattselznick.com, go to the podcasts page and click through to Sonototem 102, or just go to mattselznick.com/sonototem-102. And you can leave a comment right there in the show notes. You can record a brief voice message, maybe on your phone, and email that to matt@mattselznick.com. And if you do that, I may include it in a future episode and respond there in the episode. Either way, I will respond to all feedback and comments, whether emailed or in the show notes or voice message, what have you. I'd love to hear your feedback. As always, you hear this on every podcast you listen to. Please take a moment to subscribe to Sonototem. There aren't that many subscribers to Sonototem. So if you join for free as a subscriber, just click the subscribe button or the add button wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, what have you. That would be great. You will get new episodes as soon as they come out. And along those lines, as long as you're doing that in your podcast app, how about taking a moment to rate and review the show? A rating, 5 stars, if that's what you think it's worth. Doesn't take more than a few seconds. A review written in your own words has great value. Both of those things really help the show because it shows other people that this is the kind of thing they might want to listen to. And algorithmically, it helps the show go up higher in search results when people are looking for shows like this about writing and the creative writing life. So, you know, all the usual stuff. Please comment. Please subscribe. Please rate and review the show. It all means a lot. It helps me know that you're out there, and it helps the show to grow. If you really want to go above and beyond and you have the means, consider, once again, becoming a patron member of my Multiversalists community. You can join wonderful member patrons like J.C. Hutchins, Zoe Cohen-Lay, Jim Lewinson, Amelia Bowen, Ted Leonhardt, and Charles Anderson. It would be amazing if you did that. As little as, I think it's $4.17 a month when you become a bronze multiversalist at the annual rate. And among the other perks that I mentioned earlier in the show, you get the uncut, unedited edition of every episode of this podcast, all 102 episodes and counting. And that includes the complete conversations that I have with other authors. Speaking of that, next episode, episode 103 in about 2 weeks, will feature horror and fantasy horror author Tom Carnell. Now, Tom's done a lot since 2000, but there's a chance you might recognize their name as one of the founders of the multiple award-nominated magazine Carpe Noctem, which ran from 1994 to 2000. So Tom's going to be my guest in the next episode, and we're going to talk about making stuff and finding success and staying healthy and sane in the process like we do. And oh yeah, by the way, since you've made it to the end of this episode, I have a special thing for you. Now, J.C. Hutchins, who is one of our gold multiversalists, you can find him at jchutchins.net. He's an author and, among other things, one of the earliest podcasters like me, and a really great guy. Now, as a gold multiversalist, he automatically got a copy of the chapbook edition of Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat. But this guy, he went ahead and bought one anyway. And when I asked him about it, I'm like, hey, what's the deal? Do you want a second one? What's going on? He said, no, offer it as a gift to somebody who listens to the podcast. So I'm doing just that. My friends, if you email, I'm going to make it simple. I don't want to make this conditional. All you have to do is email me at matt@mattselznick.com. Say, hey, I listened to episode 102 of Sonatotum, heard about the chapbook, and I wouldn't mind having one. Here's my address. That's all you got to do. If you wanted to include a screenshot, maybe, of a rating and review that you did of the show, I wouldn't say no to that. It'd be awesome. It'd be amazing. But it is not required to be eligible to get this free chapbook. All I'm going to do, by the time it's time to record episode 103, and episode 103 will come out June 26th. So let's say you've got until June 22nd to do this. Email me at matt@mattselznick.com before June 22nd, 2004. Let me know you want the chapbook. Be sure to include your mailing, shipping address anywhere in the US and Canada. I will randomly select one person from all the folks who email me between now and June 22nd, 2024. And courtesy of J.C. Hutchins, jchutchins.net, you will get the chapbook. All right. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.